Well, good evening. This is Donna Partow welcoming you to the 90-Day Jumpstart to a New You. And this is Donna Partow, your host. We're studying together my book, Becoming the Woman God Wants Me to Be, a 90-Day Guide to Living the Proverbs 31 Life. Tonight we are having some interesting challenges with TalkShoe, but we will try to press through that and give you a little bit of information, hopefully some practical ideas and encouragement, most of it just from the book this week. We are on week 9, household management, and I'm just going to have to give the disclaimer and make the confession. They say confession is good for the soul. In fact, the scripture says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. So here it is. This is my least favorite week, the most difficult chapter for me to write, because this really is my greatest weakness, I would say. Not good at household management. I'm definitely one of those very creative types, and I'm messy by nature. You know the old rule, don't put it down, put it away. That's like nowhere on my radar screen. I never put it away. I put it down, and then I put it down somewhere else, and I put it down somewhere else, and down, 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 down. And, you know, each little thing probably hits some surface 20 times before it finally reaches its final resting place of being put away. So this is definitely my greatest weakness, and if you're like me, you know what I mean, you'll understand this, that kind of trail, you know, behind me. If I was ever on one of those CSI shows, oh, no. No, no, no. We can't have any crimes committed against me. No, because the forensic people, no, they'd never be able to figure it out because there's just stuff everywhere. But anyway, let's go ahead and jump in, and I'm just going to go through some of the ideas that you'll encounter this week in the book. I'm not sure I have any great, fresh, brilliant revelations on this particular topic, but let's go at it. The first thing that I suggest is dividing your house up into 10 zones, 10 different zones. So if you've got a tiny little apartment or a 10,000 square foot mansion, it doesn't matter. Divide it up into 10 zones. If you've got like a one room studio apartment, divide that thing into 10 zones. And then remember our little 80-20 rule? Well, we're going to bring that back again. We're going to make the list of those 10 zones. And then we're going to put a star or highlight or draw an arrow to the top two, the two most important ones that seem to be clutter zones for you. For me, it's like the counter right by my refrigerator. I don't know, for some reason, come into the, you know, into the garage, into the kitchen, and right next to the refrigerator, there's that flat surface, and it's just so tempting. To just pile stuff, and it starts to pile and pile and pile, and next thing you know, you have a giant pile, and then occasionally it even like falls off on the floor. I'm lucky no one has been injured. And then the other one for me is the laundry room. Not sure why that is, but those I would put as my two. But for you, it's going to be something different. Maybe you're a neat freak, and maybe that's why some people aren't even here tonight, because they're neat freaks and they don't need it, or, you know, talk show, I think, is also giving people a hard time. But so pick your two hot spots, your two trouble zones, and then here's the key. Start thinking strategically. Think about, okay, this is my trouble spot. What exactly is the problem? I mean, know your enemy, right? You know, knowledge is power. So what exactly is going wrong in that area? So define the problem, and then start to think, okay, what could solve this? And this is where, you know, a little field trip can do wonders for you, okay? So pack up the kids and say, we're going on a field trip. And go to somewhere like an organizing store. I noticed Bed Bath & Beyond. I was in there one day this week buying a wedding gift for someone. And they've got a lot of organizational stuff in there. It's not just bedding. I mean, they've got stuff that you can use to organize different areas in your house. In fact, I got this really cool thing that is like a purse organizer that actually hangs on the back of the closet door. And I was able to get my purses up from off the floor and line those up. And then I used one to hang, like, you know, other stuff. And I really love it. I may go back and get, you know, a couple more of those. So take a trip to an organizing store and find something that will work to conquer those two areas. Now, once you've got those in hand, you know the way this goes, right? A fire will break out somewhere else, and then you'll have to, you'll have to go back to the store again and start all over again with another area. But just start with two. We don't want to overwhelm you. Make it simple. One of the things I've been working on is my closet. Oh, no. It really, truly, someone could be living in there. You know, wasn't there a movie? Yeah, Natalie Portman was in the movie where she was living in Walmart and no one noticed. Yeah. We could have Natalie Portman do a film here, or we could just use my 13-year-old who looks just like her. And we could film, we could do a whole movie about someone living in my closet for 10 years and being undetected. I mean, that's, I'm just telling you the truth. That's how bad it is. And my prayer, because all of you know that my SMART goal is to have my entire house in order. I mean, drawers, closets, every nook and cranny, my whole house in order by the time the 90 days are up. Well, actually, my real goal is by September, but I want to try to do it by the end of our 90 days together if I possibly can. And my reward is going to be a spa day with my BFF, and my dire consequence, I'm going to post on Facebook. Yeah. You know I don't want to do that. I'm going to post on Facebook any unfinished areas, and I can promise you that I do not want to post a picture of my closet the way it looks right now on Facebook. I mean, it's horrible. And so I went into my closet, and I got that purse organizer, and I got another thing that I can nail up. And I'm just, okay, how can I conquer my closet? I got a whole bag filled with stuff that I'm going to take to the Salvation Army or Goodwill or whatever. I've already got it in the pickup truck. It's out of my house. It's ready to go. I mean, I who give stuff away all the time still somehow manage. And you know what? They wear their pants. Listen, it never, I mean, even though the pants are okay and they go with outfits or like matching sets that I bought for speaking or whatever, I hate to wear pants. You know, they just hang there and I don't wear them. So even no matter what I pay, I'm practicing what I preach here, no matter what I paid for them, no matter how expensive they were, yada, yada, I put them all in the bag, and someone is going to get a really nice pantsuit. Where's Hillary Clinton? Maybe I'll send it to her. I got it at Nordstrom. I mean, it's just adorable. I was going to the big, you know, Christian authors convention they have every year, and I was going to that, and I was like, oh, so I decided to go all out and get a really fancy outfit, and, you know, that was 10 years ago, and it's still hanging in my closet, and believe me, I'm not as fit as I was 10 years ago. Age. Okay, so where was I at? The zones. So the zone I'm working on right now is actually my bedroom and specifically my closet. That's what I've got to conquer. So, you know, I remember I've been quoting Ann Ortland a lot lately, and I do love her book, The Disciplines of the Beautiful Woman. That's one of my favorite all-time books. But she said, if you can make it beautiful, you'll be motivated to keep it beautiful. And I thought, you know, that really is true. And we did have a testimony this past week. I think Janet had talked about what God was really showing her about that innate desire for beauty that he places within the heart of little girls and in the heart of women. So I've really done some things. We got my bathroom painted. Yeah. Just within the last couple of weeks, just a coat of paint. Amazing what a coat of paint will do. So we put a coat of paint in there and put in a new light fixture. I still had one of those, like, 1970s, you know, disco, you know what I mean, like lights. And it's so outdated. It's just so awful. So we put in a new, like, more contemporary little light fixture and painted the walls. It just made such a difference. And, you know, it really is true. Now that it looks pretty in there, I do feel more motivated to keep it in order, and I've been doing it much, much better. The other thing is declutter. Now, the last time we did this, the 90-day jumpstart, I came up with the idea for the Great Church Giveaway. You know, I don't know how many people got on board with it, but we put up a lot of information, and we put up some sample posters and things, and we called it the Great Church Giveaway, and we challenged churches in this economy as a way to declutter your houses and make it easier to keep them clean by getting rid of the junk. You know, get the whole church involved and just everybody declutter their houses. The motto was, if you have two, when one will do, then give one away. And, you know, how many candlesticks do you need, really? I mean, when you know, how many televisions do you need? Definitely, I've said this before, I'd say it again. If I had two television sets, I would absolutely sell one. I would not, do not, do not, do not have a television in your bedroom. I don't know what people are thinking when they do that. And don't have television in your children's rooms. I just cannot see. You know, call me crazy, call me an extremist. I don't know why any Christian family would want to have more than one television in the household. It's bad enough to have one. I mean, I do have a TV. I mean, for years we didn't have television. When we lived in the mountains, we had a television set, but we only watched, videos. That was back when you had videos, not DVDs. But we only watched videos. We really didn't get TV. And then once in a while, we'd get, one channel. I mean, you would never know which one it would be. But just was not part of our life for, we lived up there, almost a decade. No part of TV, didn't miss it. But now I do have it because I kind of like the politics, just to confess. But if you want to manage your household well, I don't know how you can manage your household and manage what's happening in your children's lives. If they've got a television set in the bedroom, I'm sorry, that's crazy. Sell the thing, have a yard sale, and get rid of it, and use that extra money to go to the organizing store and buy some super cool organizing little gadgets and gizmos. Well, of course, you can make your own. I have a girlfriend whose closet is, it's like a thing of beauty. You go in there, and she just uses shoe boxes and stuff that doesn't cost a lot of money, and that works just as well. But I was saying that one of my ideas was to organize a great church giveaway. Now, you can do this on a small scale, or you can do it on a large scale. It's really up to you. I talked throughout this book about the idea of having exchanges. You know, get together with a group of women and say, okay, we're going to do an accessory exchange or a clothing exchange. You could do a children's clothing exchange. That would be kind of fun. Or how about a toy exchange? And even let, you don't want the kids to hurt each other, but if the mothers were to monitor it, just bring along a bunch of toys and, give each child a bag and say, okay, kids, you can each pick 3 new toys, and the moms kind of monitor that. That might work. But the idea with the Great Church Giveaway was to just fill, a room in the church or fill the parking lot or whatever with things that people in the congregation were willing to give away, either to other members or to anybody in the community who wanted to come. And there was a local church here that my daughter's real involved with because they have Bible quiz, and they really caught the vision. And we had actually hoped to videotape it, but of course it ended up I was out of town and yada yada, so the date didn't work. But anyway, but they actually gave away free haircuts and, all kinds of stuff. But I think that a great church giveaway or an exchange is a wonderful way to manage your household well if you can just get rid of some of the clutter. Now, a couple of the other ideas that I have as far as maintaining the clutter in your home is to think seasonal. We don't need to have every cute little, thing that we have on display all year around. So think seasonal. If you have certain little bouquets of flowers, just put this one out in the spring and put that one out in the fall. You could do it tied to holidays or tied to seasons, or you could even randomly rotate. I'm talking about knickknacks, pictures, things that you have around your house that need to be dusted and need to be cleaned and cluttered. If you don't want to give them away, if you don't want to sell them at a yard sale or eBay, you really do like them and want to keep them, put them in bins and then rotate them. And the cool thing is, if you have a particular picture and a little matching doily and a little vase and, this whole little arrangement that you like to have out, put it away for a few months and then bring it out again. And you're just going, oh, it's going to look like as you rotate some of your decor and rotate the knickknacks every few months, it's going to be like you're getting a new house. It's going to look fresh, and it's like, oh, you're going to have a new appreciation for it. So, again, less is more. Take down, take away some of the stuff and put it away. The other tip that I have as far as decluttering, and I need to do more of this myself, again, is get stuff off of flat surfaces and put it up on the wall. If you've got a picture, don't display it necessarily on a flat surface. Put it up on the wall or put little shelving units. And then put things up on the shelving unit so that you don't have to pick it up and move it around as much when it's when you're cleaning. The other idea is the replacement idea, and this is especially good with children. Let's say you buy a new puzzle. You know, your child wants a new puzzle. Great. Buy the new puzzle, come home and say, okay, now we're going to replace. We're not going to add to. We're going to replace. So what I want you to do, you know, sweetie, pick a puzzle and let's replace. We've got the new one. Pick one of your old puzzles that you're going to give to mommy, and then we're either going to sell it or we're going to take it and we're going to give it away to someone else. But don't let your kids get in the accumulation mindset. I hope this makes sense. We want to teach our children replacement rather than accumulation. Let's say you take your daughter out and you get her, you know, four new shirts for going back to school. Well, let's go into the room and say, okay, do we want to replace some shirts? Do you have some shirts that are too small for you now? Do you have some shirts that are maybe stained and I mean, they're not looking good at all. Let's throw those away if they're really getting raggedy. Or let's pass them down, let's set them aside for the next sibling coming up or whatever. But let's get in the idea of, you know, we don't need more accumulate. Yes, you can get something new, but have the idea that this is a replacement for something that we have. And this is really, really valuable with your children so that they don't get that really covetous mindset. Really would make a big difference in their lives. The next idea that I share this week is the idea of the cleaning caddies. And I have a couple of these. Again, I suggested three in the book. Now I actually kind of think that was overkill. Probably two is enough. And, you know, so you get your little caddies. Again, you can get these at Home Depot or an organizing school, a store, and fill those with the supplies that you need to go through the house. That way it's all in one place, and you go from room to room, and you take the cleaning caddy with you. It just makes it easier to keep things clean. And the reason that I recommend having more than one is that we want to communicate to our kids that cleaning is not just a one-woman job. But, you know, it takes two at least to clean the house, and, you know, let's all clean together. Now, I have to tell you, the devil, demons, whatever, they are not liking me today. I don't know if Talk Shoe is just out to get me personally tonight. I would believe it. I have had the worst day. I have to tell you, usually my children are really, really very good. I mean, they're at that age now, 13 and 19, that, you know, they're not real high, they're real low maintenance for the most part. They get along well, and they both love Jesus. I mean, they're just pretty terrific kids for the most part. Well, it began with my 19-year-old this morning, from the minute she woke up, just being impossible. Then my 13-year-old decided that she was going to be impossible. I mean, we just had the worst day. And you want to know what it was about? It was about flowers. Here it is. I'm telling you. And you would not believe how bad it got here today. I wanted my oldest daughter to plant flowers, just little pots of flowers, and put them on the front porch because, you know, all our other neighbors, you know, we live in this wonderful little Mormon neighborhood, and they all take great pride in their lawns, and they all have little pots of flowers out, and it looks real, real nice, nothing wanting to do that. And so I, you know, told my oldest daughter, and I've been telling her this for a few weeks, you know, I want you to go to the flower shop and pick up some little flowers, and, you know, I want you to own that and make the front porch look pretty for me. Well, today was the day that I was like, okay, now I've been asking you, and you are not honoring your mother. We've crossed a line, and now we're in rebellion. And, you know, this whole thing. So now she's like, dang, this is not one of your speeches. Don't you teach me and preach to me. And I was like, not happy. Not happy with her. And then I wanted my little one just to arrange some flowers. I bought a bouquet of flowers because I've started filming. You guys are going to love that. I've started filming for the 90-day renewal. I'm so excited. I'm like on day 14 already in the filming. And so I said to her, I want you to rearrange these flowers that I bought and make a real pretty arrangement in the vase, and maybe you could split it off into two little groupings. Well, it must have been like anti-flower day, because she dug in her heels over those dumb flowers, and I cannot believe the day that we had at this house And it was all about flowers. I'm telling you, it's just absolutely nuts. So my point is, I think that the little demons are pitching a fit because they know that my most powerful teaching by far is that book, Becoming the Woman I Want to Be, the 90-Day Renewal in Spirit, Soul, and Body. That's my magnum opus. That's my most powerful teaching. And I think that the devils in hell, actually I just heard the other day, there's only one devil, the rest are demons. I don't know if that's true, but Martin Luther said this world is with devils filled. So I don't know. Anyway, there's creepy people, creepy creatures, I should say, who don't side with God and the angels, that's for sure. And I think they're just going nuts because they are so scared of that 90-day renewal, and they should be because it's going to be so powerful. And I am going to do it free. I know. I said I'm not going to do this stuff free anymore, but I'm going to do that one free. I think I am. Because I just want to share it with a maximum number of women because I know it's going to change their lives and it's going to be so powerful. So I think probably what I'm going to do is put that up for free for the first 30 days. And any woman who gets in during those first 30 days gets in free. But then after that, we're going to be charging. And what's going to be great, I know I'm on a tangent, what's going to be great about the 90-day renewal is that we don't all have to be on the same day at the same time. We don't even have to be on the same week. In other words, you could be on this call tonight, and you start at the 90-day renewal 85 days ago, and someone else just started today, and we can still be in the same group because it's not thematic the way this one is. In other words, this week we're very specifically on household management and everybody has to be on the same page. So what's going to be neat about the 90-day renewal is that the women who get in first, those first 30 days, they get in free. Then you can recruit your friends and I'll pay you like I did with this one. I'll pay you to recruit your friends, and they can join at any time, and that group will just be ongoing. So I'm excited. And I think that that's why the little demons are just having a heart attack. They're like, we've got to stop her. We've got to stop this. Women are going to be, they're going to be getting healthy in spirit and soul and body, and they're going to be tearing it up for the kingdom of God, and they are getting nervous. And so that's what I think all this panic is about. So anyway, back to household management. I have to achieve this goal because, you know, we get that house in order and then we can forget about it, just maintain and press on to become the women that God would have us be. And the other thing I shared this week, ironically, is about shared servanthood. And in the videos, I talk about how we have a sign outside the house coming in, you know, and then on the inside of the house, the same sign, you know, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We all serve the Lord together in shared servanthood. Sisters, just so you know, I couldn't get my girls to plant or arrange flowers. So we are just all in this together. And I'm just being so real with you because we all have those days. And, you know, I finally just said, out, 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 out. All of you, go, 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 get in the car. That's a great thing. Teenagers got a car. I'm like, out, out, go, 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 get in the car and go, go, go now. And so we all have those days, sisters, you know. And we're not always wanting to serve one another. You know, there's just that thing within us that's about me. And those of you who have toddlers or can remember the toddler years, every human being is about me, 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 me. What about me, 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 mine. And it is hard, but I think it's important as far as our role as mothers, not to be servant of all exclusively, but really to be raising up servant-hearted kids. And, you know, it's really a tricky balance here, isn't it? We want to model servanthood, but we want to do it in a way that we're not crippling and enabling our children and really creating bad behavior in them. And I'm going to tell you, I've struggled with this as a mother, you know, because it is easier and faster just to do it ourselves. You know, when you're trying to teach your 3-year-old, your 4-year-old, your 5-year-old, when you're trying to teach them the chores and impart the idea of shared servanthood in them, you know, one of my books, I share the story of my daughter, you know, cleaning all the windows in the house with furniture polish. And you're like, oh, it makes more work, but it's important. It's important. You know, even if they botch it, and then it's so tempting to go and undo it or redo it, and we just have to resist. We have to resist because we've got to teach our children shared servanthood. Otherwise, it's all going to fall on you. It's all going to fall on you, and you're going to have to do it yourself. And we want to train up our children to serve one another, because otherwise, then they're going to get married someday, and the son-in-laws and daughters-in-laws are going to despise us because we've created, you know, these children who just think the world is there to wait upon them. And I think it's a struggle for stay-at-home moms. I really do. But it's an important one, and we need to join the battle and say, even if it's going to be a little harder, I'm going to train these kids. I'm going to teach them, even if they don't do it perfectly, don't do it right, don't do it the way I would have done it. And that's one thing, too, now with my girls getting older. You know, they want to do it their own way. I'm like, that's not the way I would do it. Well, you know, tough. If they have a different idea of how to get the work done, as long as they get it done, then so be it. And sometimes they may have better ideas than what you have. I'm trying to think. We have an example here very recently of one of my kids just doing something so much better than me. Anyway, I don't remember, but I'm sure it happens all the time. And then I want to talk with you. I want to share a scripture with you, and this is in your reading, but I think this is so powerful on so many levels. It's in Nehemiah chapter 13, and the story is this, that Eliashib is the priest, and they've rebuilt the city, that the captives have come back, and they've rebuilt the city walls, and now they're reestablishing, you know, the temple and the worship of God and the service of God. And Nehemiah goes back to the king, and, you know, he's, you know, checking in and seeing how the old job situation is. Then he returns again to Jerusalem, and in his absence, Eliashib had invited Tobiah to come, and he gave him a room in the temple, a room in the house of God. And Nehemiah goes absolutely bonkers. I absolutely love this. I mean, he takes everything out of the room and he throws it out, and then he removes everything. He purifies the room, and then he puts back in the room the sacred things and the things that are used to serve God that really belong there. And I think that there's some really important spiritual applications here, because Tobiah was actually an enemy. Tobiah had been working all along to undermine what God was trying to do in the lives of his people. This is critical. And Nehemiah went nuts. In fact, I love Nehemiah. You know, in the last chapter, he's like pulling people's hair and stuff. I mean, he's just a crazy guy. But sometimes we invite the enemy, and it's like kind of a deceptive enemy, sort of pretends to be our friend, but it's really not. And we invite things into our home. Now, TV can be like that. You know, we think it's our friend because it's babysitting the kids and keeping them occupied, but it's really not our friend. It's really an enemy, and we invite it into the house, and we let it stay. And we need to get that mindset that Nehemiah had, that said, hey, wait a minute, what is this doing in the house of God? This house, you know, the house that you live in belongs to God. And you and your, of course, your husband over you have authority over that house, but it's your house. And the enemy does not have a right to sneak his stuff into your house and to try to undermine the effectiveness of what you're doing in your own home. Listen, Tobiah was no relationship at all to Nehemiah. It wasn't his son. It wasn't his son-in-law. No relationship to him whatsoever. But it was God's house, and Nehemiah had authority, was God's delegated authority in this situation. So he exercised that authority, and he went into that room, and he took all the junk out. Now, I think that you are in authority over your children. And I do think that you have a right. Now, again, you've got to work with your husband on this. You've got to pray. You've got to, I mean, I can see how people would have different opinions on this, and I respect that. I'm giving you my personal opinion. I do think that you have a right to exercise spiritual authority over what is being brought into your home. I'm talking about video games. I'm talking about action figures. I'm talking about, boy, I would not let Harry Potter or anything to do with Harry Potter in my house. And maybe I'm an extremist, and I know not everybody agrees with that. But I think we need to be very, very careful. In fact, we had the movie National Treasure, which I thought was a great movie with Nicolas Cage, and I thought it was real clever and well done, had a lot of history in it. But then I started learning more and more about the Masonic Lodge and the Masons and the Knights Templar and, you know, all the stuff that that movie kind of undergirds. And I just decided I didn't want that in my house because the Masons, it's very demonic. I mean, that's bad, bad stuff. That is bad, bad stuff. And I decided I just don't want it in my house. I don't want it in my house. That's it. The other thing that I had to decide about, especially when you travel internationally and you get these little trinkets, you know, you're in the market and, you know, it's, oh, look at that little trinket. That's so cute. And I see it everywhere. So it must be a real traditional thing in this country, and you bring it home and it could be a god. Now, you could argue, well, we're Christians and there's only one true God. And, you know, what's that little statue going to do? What's the harm? And so just leave it be. Well, you know what? If that's what you and your husband feel, that's absolutely fine. But I'll tell you what, I would be praying over it. I would invite my elder, my pastor, my priest, my small group leader, you know, whoever is in spiritual authority over me, I would invite them to my house. And if there were any items that I thought were questionable, I would ask them to pray with me and give me their measured spiritual opinion. And if they pray over it and say, you know what, yeah, that god is kind of crazy. It's just a trinket, you know, big deal. It's an Egyptian god. Yeah, who cares? No problem. Okay, you know, that's fine. But I would at least be paying attention to it. And just one room was enough to make Nehemiah really go bonkers, because I think that there's really power in what's going on in just one room in your house. And of course, I make the connection in some of my other teachings that even spiritually, in our own lives, you know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there may be just one area of our lives that we have given over to the enemy of our soul. You know, and for you, it may be romance novels. That's one of the examples that I give. Maybe it's romance novels. Yeah, well, that's just one thing. Yeah? Well, if you give just one foothold to the enemy of your soul, I guarantee you, he will use it to the fullest extent. And in fact, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I had the worst day today. And last night, I'm not even going to go into all of the great details, but I have a situation that I'm dealing with in my life. And someone wrote me an email about it. And I spent an hour writing an email back. And there was this voice inside me, like the Holy Spirit saying, don't send it. Delete that last paragraph. You know, what you're saying may be true, but it's not kind. And, you know, I sent it anyway. And I even, you know, I really even had that check in my spirit that was like, you know what, Donna? You just opened a door. You just gave over a room. You just invited the demon in by being in disobedience and sending that email, saying something really unkind, you know, that you should not have said. And I wonder, you know, and again, I don't want to, you know, demon under every rock, or, you know, make yourself a little baddie like this. But, you know, I just can't help wondering if what I did, the last thing I did last night, in violation of my bedtime, I should have been asleep anyway, shouldn't have been up that late getting that email in the first place, and then I wouldn't have been upset. Are you guys tracking with me on this? I know you are. I shouldn't have been doing it in the first place, so I was in disobedience. I was in rebellion to what I had pledged to do, which was to be in bed at a certain time. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me, saying, don't type that, don't write that, delete it, don't send it. I did anyway. Well, you know what? When you're in rebellion, it's just an open door. It's just an open door to trouble. And when you're bringing, you know, and I think especially these TV shows where all of the kids are in open rebellion to their parents, I hate that Cody and Devin or whatever that thing is, the two little boys with the blonde hair on Disney. I do not let my daughter watch that show because they're rebellious, and I just don't want her to watch it. It's not good stuff, and we need to be really, really circumspect about what's going on in our home and what's going on in our hearts, because it really only takes just one area of our lives to be out of alignment and getting us in trouble. So I do believe that purifying our houses spiritually is something important to do. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do this again this week. In fact, maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I think I'm going to do it tomorrow. And I'm going to go through, just as I'm urging you to do, I'm going to go through every room in my house, and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to say, God, is there anything in this room physically that needs to be removed, that's become a stumbling block? Is there anything happening in the life of the person who sleeps in this room that you want to show me, God? You know, help me to really see what's happening with this particular child. What am I not seeing here, God? And then just pray in that room. Pray for that person, or pray for what happens in there. Like in my home office, I need to come and I need to pray over this office again and say, God, I'm one of the things I'm doing, and you guys can hold me accountable, is I've set working hours, because I have a tendency to, you know, just sit in here way too many hours of the day, and then you end up surfing the internet and, you know, politico.com, and, you know, not really working, just kind of goofing off. And so I've set working hours, and I'm going to be open. I've got a lock on the door now, and we lock up the office. I'm open each day from 10 to noon, and then from 2 to 5. Now, of course, Monday nights is the exception because I've got to be in here to do the radio show. But that's it. And then Saturdays, it's by appointment only. And Sundays, whatever the Sabbath, I know for at least one of you, the Sabbath is Saturday, whatever. You know, your Sabbath, you're closed. That room is off limits on the Sabbath. You're not going in there. You're taking a day to rest. And so go through, you know, go into your kitchen and pray over your kitchen. You know, God, give me a servant heart. Go into the room that's got your television. God, is there any programming? Is there anything coming in here that we don't need? Pray over your DVDs. Pray over your CD collection. Everything. Just pray and ask God to give you wisdom. The Bible says that God will give us wisdom when we come to Him and ask for it. And I think that we need to be wise women. If we're going to manage our households well, then we're going to have to ask God to give us wisdom and revelation about what's really going on in that house. And then I started to hint at this before, but I'm going to go ahead and develop this again. It's the idea of just making your house as much as you can beautiful. And I don't think it needs, again, it can just be a coat of paint. It can be going to, you know, the local, you know, Shabby Chic or whatever kind of secondhand store. You know, when you go to the Goodwill to drop off bags and bags of stuff you're getting rid of, or if you have the exchange, look for some things that might be pretty. You know, I am a big fan, truly, of a coat of paint. You know, you can go to Walmart and get a gallon, I think, for what, $10, $20, not much. And just a fresh coat of paint. Sometimes, and again, if it ends up, oh, it's not the perfect color, well, you know, in a couple of years, put another coat on there. The one tip I would give is that it's always 10 times darker when it's on four walls than it is when it's on that little, you know, that little square of paper in the store. So, you know, pick the color that you think you're going to like and go back maybe two to three levels and get it a little bit lighter so it's not too overwhelming. The other thing is that we've been doing is getting flowers. And, you know, if you live in an area where you can just kind of take a walk and pick some wildflowers or plant some flowers in your backyard or whatever, but to bring some flowers in and just make your household beautiful, because I think that really is true, that you'll be more inspired to keep it nice if it's pretty. And I know some of you are working on your basement, some of us are working on our closets, not sure how we can make our closets pretty, but maybe we can put some potpourri in there and, you know, get some good smell in there. The other thing, another thing that I've done, coming back to the idea of getting things up off the wall, is I've hung my jewelry on the wall now. You can get these little, I went to Walmart, and you get these little sticky, tiny, you get a whole bag full of little sticky hooks, and they're actually removable, and you can line those up, find a little wall, like inside a closet, and line those up, and then you can have all your jewelry right in there on the wall, so it's not taking up shelf space, and then as you pick your outfit, you know, you can pick jewelry that goes right with it. One of the things, I don't know if it's this week or another week, but I urge you to even, you know, tune back on the jewelry. You know, do you need 5 million different, you know, necklaces? Maybe you just need a handful that are really, really nice. Well, I think that's about it. I, who really am not very strong at household management, am not going to be able to do, not going to be able to be too life transforming for all of you ladies. But I do want to pray over each of your households. And I'm going to go ahead and check in with Chinga, and I'm going to check in with Lynn, Carolyn, because they're here on the line. And they're probably just on the line because Talk Show is misbehaving tonight. But check in and see how they're doing with their 90-day jumpstart and how we can pray for them. And then I'm going to go through and I'm going to pray tonight for all of your households. Chinga, you are on the line. Are you just calling in because the computer's driving you nuts, or is there something you want to share with us?
Did you say Chinga?
Chinga, you're up.
Okay. Yeah, I called in because it kicked me out.
Oh, I know. It's just awful today. How is your jumpstart going, though?
It's going well. I've been enjoying it. And I know you say this is not for women in their 30s or early 30s. I'm enjoying it. I love it. I think it's good preparation. So
wonderful.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Wonderful. So even a younger woman can benefit from this.
Mm-hmm. I always find that learning from older women, I learn so much more than younger women. So,
you know, I don't know why it is in the church that no one wants to admit they're the older woman. You know, it's, I remember when I was a young mom, there were so many women who were desperate for mentoring and desperate for encouragement and people who would sow into their lives. And there was never anybody who was willing to say, you know, yeah, I am an older woman now. And it's almost like a false modesty of, well, you know, I haven't arrived, so I can't invest in someone's life. So I'm proud to have my gray hair, and I freely admit I haven't arrived, but I also feel that I need to be obedient to God's word and invest in some of the younger women. So I'm glad that you're finding it beneficial. I don't want women who are, you know, at home and they've got three little kids underfoot to feel like they're, you know, got to be overwhelmed with this. Well, let me go ahead. Can I go ahead and pray for you?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Do you have anything specific other than I know your visa and your job and your businesses? Is there anything else?
That's exactly what I need prayer on.
We know it. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we are going to be that persistent one who presses in. And I would just want to acknowledge tonight that you are a good Heavenly Father to my sister Chinga, and you already know. You already know what she needs. You know what, you know the deepest desire and of her heart, and you know even more than she does what she truly needs. And so we trust you. And we desire to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all the things that she needs will be added unto you. I declare that by faith tonight. I declare that by faith tonight because I know that your word is true. You know, your word is true. And God, as she focuses on the kingdom assignments that you put before her each day, and as she sets herself to live right, and, you know, that's why she's here with a 90-day jumpstart, and she's, you know, coming under the mentoring of an older woman and doing all that she can to be the woman that you would have her be, I just know that you're going to honor her. And, Lord, I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but I know that it's going to be beautiful. And I thank you, God, too, for the gift of beauty that you've given to my sister. I thank you for the opportunities that you have given her to see at least two different continents and to see how you work in different cultural contexts. God, I know that those experiences have enriched her life. I know that they've made her a better person. I know they've made her a person of greater depth and wisdom and compassion and insight. Lord, I believe that you would desire for all of your children to be truly world Christians, that you do not want us to be parochial. You do not want us to think that, you know, our particular country and our culture is the only game in town and our way of doing church is, you know, the one true and correct way. And so, God, I thank you that even at a young age, that you have expanded her vision. You have expanded her borders, God, even as it says in the Old Testament, you know, that you will expand, you know, the area of our tent, you know, that you will expand our territory, the old prayer of Jabez. And so, God, I pray that for her, God, that you will expand her territory, that where her feet trod in these different countries, that you're going to give her territory, you're going to give her victory, you're going to give her blessing, and all of this is going to come together to make her a mighty, mighty, powerful, unstoppable woman of God. I thank you that she's seeking your kingdom, and she's seeking right living, and I know, God, that you're going to bless her for it. Father, you know what she needs. She needs a visa if she's to stay in this country. God, if she's to remain here, then she needs a business that is prospering. God, I pray that you would bless her studies, bless all that she sets her hand to. Father, you say in your word, you make it plain. We don't need to ask you your will. You have made your will plain, and you have said that you desire that Chinga would be the head and not the tail. You desire that she would not have to be borrowing. God, you would have her be in a position of influence in the world. That is your will, your stated will. You would have her be a woman of influence and character and excellence who can laugh at the days to come, a woman whose life is in order, a woman whose heart is seeking hard after you. We know that that is your desire for her. And so, Father, I pray right now that you would do an incredible work in her life. God, I pray that you would do such a work in her life that it would not even matter to her where she lives. She would have no opinion whatsoever about that subject, that she would not even care what it is that she does or where she goes, that she would walk day by day with such faith and such God confidence, with such an awareness that you are leading her moment by moment, even in those moments where it doesn't look like you're leading her. She has a deep trust and abiding confidence that you are weaving a tapestry in her life. And she is going to look back, and it is going to be a thing of absolute radiant beauty for the glory of her King. And I declare these things in the name of our King and for the sake of his kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You be blessed, girl. All right. We're going to go to Lynn. I think Lynn's on the line.
Hi, Donna.
Hey, Lynn. You're up. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm doing good.
Well, can I pray for you, something very specific?
You could pray for my new business venture.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm so excited about this, and I'm not a person who gets excited.
Wonderful.
Sure,
well, I'm going to...
Is something wrong with me? Or
I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you that even as we have been praying throughout this journey, the 90-day jumpstart to becoming the women that you would have us be. I remember the week that we all prayed for supernatural debt relief. God, that we prayed that you would do something above and beyond anything that we would ask or imagine. And I know that in my own life that you have granted that, that you've granted me favor in the eyes of my lender. But God, I also believe that you've granted supernatural debt relief and that I've been able to begin to recover from all of the debt and all the difficulty that we've incurred over these past 2 years of tremendous economic difficulty in my family and, of course, in so many other families as well. And so, God, I know that you're not, as we say, a respecter of person. God, I know that I'm not a favored child above and beyond anybody else. But, God, you love all of your children, and you certainly love your daughter, Carolyn. And, God, you desire to bless her so that she can be a blessing. It says in your word, and it says it so plainly, that you desire that we would be enriched, that we would be equipped, that we would be provided with every good thing so that out of the abundance of what you provide, we can be a blessing to others. And God, we know that these are difficult days in the United States and around the world. We know that there are many people in need. We know that throughout the world today that there are children, especially in Africa, there are orphans, thousands and thousands and thousands. I believe it's 3,000 new AIDS orphans a day in Africa. There are children all over the world who are going to bed hungry tonight. There are children suffering from malaria and cholera and all these other horrible, horrible diseases. There are over 1 billion people who've never even heard the name of Jesus. There are people throughout the Middle East who don't know what a real Christian is, God, and it's going to take money. It's going to take resources in the hands of your children to address these evils and to push back the work of the enemy upon the earth. And so, God, we come to you and we ask for supernatural debt cancellation. We ask for supernatural provision for Lynn, not for herself, but for your kingdom. God, I'm asking you to bless her above and beyond anything that she can now ask or imagine. And not just for her sake, but for the sake of your kingdom. And God, I know that you have placed visions and dreams on her heart, things that she would like to do if she had the money. I know there are things that she said over and over, I wish I could do something about that. Somebody ought to do something about that. That's not right. I know that she's the kind of woman whose heart breaks when she sees the kind of suffering in the world and what's going on, even in her own community and around her, and she wants to make a difference and get involved. She's a woman of great compassion, God. And, Lord, I pray that as you put resources at her fingertips, that she can put some feet to her faith, put some hands to her faith, and be your servant even more effectively, God, as you give her the money and the means to live out some of those ideas that you've given her in the past. I don't know if it's an orphanage or a school or a cause or a ministry or a nonprofit, whatever it is, God, I pray that you would give her the resources to do it. And God, I thank you that she's taken this step of faith to start her own business. And God, I am asking you in the name of Jesus to bless her, bless her, bless her. Lord, I pray that you would bring business builders into her business, those who are serious. Maybe there are men in her that she knows in her circle of influence, or men that she's going to be able to connect with, or even women who've been executives. I know that my daughter works at a retail store, and every day laid off business executives, men with master's degrees in business, men who know how to work hard, men who have skills and talent in sales and in marketing, and they're looking for jobs. They're looking for business opportunities. There's no shortage of them. And so, God, I pray right now that you would bring into Carolyn's life those men and those women who have talent and skill and ability, who can catch the vision and begin to partner with her in this business. And I know that I have other friends as well, and they're asking you for the same thing. We pray for your blessing upon this business in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.